Hi, this is Randy Brockdrop, outdoor enthusiast and friend of Living the Outdoors. Welcome to another hour here on The Score.
Randy! 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 Randy!
From the Fast Sign Studios, more than fast, more than signs, it's Living the Outdoors with Mark Druitt, presented by Fleet Farm. Be part of the show by calling 281-1570 or 866-653-1570. Now, here's your host, Mark Druick.
Greetings and welcome to Fleet Farm's Living the Outdoor Show. Here on The Score, I'm your host, Mark Druick. Thanks for tuning us in tonight. Got a great show. Got a great guest tonight. But again, all of our guests on Living the Outdoors are brought to you by Nemus Southside Market. Visit Nemus.com for all their weekly specials and blog. You can also follow them on Facebook, and it's Southside Nemus Southside Market. So tonight, Randy Brockdrop is here with me in the studio and always promises to be extremely interesting because he comes up with great topics. We had some fun. He sent me a text about a situation, and we're going to talk about that. It's actually kind of fun. But Randy, how you doing?
I'm doing great. We've made it. It's March 1st today.
We did. And it's like, you're all jacked up. You're all so excited when I first saw you coming in.
Well, I've been drinking this protein shake. The fine folks over at Uplift Nutrition got us a couple of protein shakes, and they are so good.
This thing is awesome. It's almost like half gone already. Thank you for bringing that.
You're welcome. Mine has a little message on it.
Mine does too. What does yours say?
Mine says, strive for progress, not perfection.
Mine says, spread love like peanut butter.
There you go.
I could have a lot of fun with that one, but I think we won't go down that
rabbit
hole.
But thanks to the fine people at Uplift.
Yes, thank you very much.
For delicious. The shakes tonight. Yes, they're very good.
So you told me everything in here is like healthy.
It is. It is. Vitamins, minerals. It's not your average everyday shake.
Nice.
It's delicious.
Where's that place? Right down the road, isn't it?
It is. It's right over at the strip mall over there.
Nice.
Yeah. So we have made it into March, and I kind of ask you guys this month to month when I'm in here, but when you hear we're in March, what does that bring any image to your head? March, the month of March, does it mean winter to you? Does it mean winter's over? Does it mean basketball? I mean, what does it mean when you hear the month March?
My birthday.
Okay.
All right. Yeah.
55. Nice.
Yeah, right. Add a few years on.
What's the day?
The 5th.
Oh, so it's right around the corner.
Yeah, it's like...
So it's Monday?
Yeah, this is my birthday week. We do birthday weekend.
That's awesome.
Nice.
Well, happy birthday, Mark.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. 63.
Okay. Oh, wow. You never know it.
Look at me.
I saw...
The legend of Grey Stoke.
I saw you gimping down the hall. You look, you know...
Oh, yeah. I was doing it fashionably, though.
Okay.
I can limp with style. I can tell you that right now.
So that means your birthday. What about you, Alex? It's March, or doesn't it do anything for you?
March Madness. That's the first thing I think.
Okay.
It's basketball season. It's the best time of the year. It really is. And the weather starts to kind of turn the corner a little bit. You get a little bit of hope. There'll be a couple of good days. Then there'll be a couple of bad days. And you have St. Paddy's Day. So another thing to think about.
You know, this guy is like, I've been listening to him lately with college basketball. He's like a savant.
I'm not a savant. It's just a strong passion of mine.
But you know what? I'm listening to him like, oh, my God, this guy is so talented, and he knows so much stuff.
He does. He really does.
Why would you not want to listen to that to get all that backstory information on? I think you were stumping those two guys.
Just don't ask me to fill out your bracket because I don't know a damn thing about filling out brackets.
Well, that's not – that's
you know what's
for
weird?
Fun. It's knowing all the – you know, how I was listening to you and how they come to putting these teams in and the committee and all that. I thought they just put names in the schools in a hat and drew, you know, I mean, that's as far as my.
It's a very complex process, to say the least. Well, and I didn't do it enough justice, but it's not easy.
I was thoroughly impressed, so that's awesome. Good for you.
It's usually the guys who do know a lot about basketball that don't win the bracket challenges and the ones that don't do because.
Whoever goes by colors, that's usually who wins. For real. It's crazy.
If you know about if you know that, you probably overanalyze.
Exactly. Yep. So, wow, we just covered that. So, yeah.
What do you think when March comes to
March, to me, it's a long month because you get those glimpses of spring and then you get cracked in the face with a snowstorm or something else like that. So I just kind of take March for what it is.
We're on the back end, though, of trouble, I think, in my opinion.
I think the worst of winter is past, but now as I say that, but and also in March, it is my wedding anniversary. So to me, that's pretty special as well. So
congratulations. How many years have you been married now?
Oh, gee. Hey.
What day? Well, how about this? Before you start thinking, what day were you? Do you know what day you were married? Let's get that first.
A Saturday? No, I'm kidding.
I hope it was a Friday or Saturday.
Mary's going, oh, you better get this date right.
It was March 23rd, and okay. It's been 27 years.
Awesome. Congratulations.
27 years. Yeah. We're about the same
same
line. I think I'm 28 this year.
So, wow. There's a lot going on in March.
It is. You know, March.
It's a good one.
I was really kind of joking before when I said my birthday, but March to me is shed hunting. You know, and I'm hoping to line up some guys for next week to talk about that, because it was always a passion of mine. But that's when the snow starts to melt and you can kind of, I mean, we had that a couple of weeks ago. Those perfect conditions. And they're starting to drop. So
yes. They're dropping a lot. They really are. And a couple of weeks ago, you could shed hunt. The snow was virtually gone.
Yeah, it's a perfect time when there's no snow on the ground because they stick out like Easter eggs.
I still have cameras running. And I haven't seen horns on a deer in weeks now. Yeah. And I used to see them. So
when they haven't had it really terrible, they're not super stressed. So that can let them carry them a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Anyway, so your anniversary is what you think of for March?
Yeah, and just kind of the roller coaster of weather that can go with it. But other than that, I think we're. You know, I feel like we've crossed that threshold a little bit right now, and stuff that comes kind of goes away a little faster than if it would drop in early January. So,
right, and it is a long month, and we turn our clocks.
Oh, is that this month?
This month,
yeah.
And you know,
weeks,
that to me is the foot in the door of spring.
Yeah.
So.
Yep, I agree. Well, and with March, the sturgeon spearing just ended.
Mm-hmm.
Last weekend, and the numbers, the preliminary numbers, or at least the numbers that I have, are out. And congrats to all the spears out there. You know, it was kind of an iffy year. You know, the conditions were a little sketchy, but everybody, for the most part, stayed safe, and they were smart about things, and they did it. But after 16 days of the sturgeon spearing, it's been called a success, and they had, a total of 1,120 sturgeon on Lake Winnebago. And it's 49 fewer than last year, but they ranked the 2023 campaign as about the 25th best out of 83 seasons. So
that's good.
I mean, what else can you ask for? I mean, you know, there was a while there, the conditions were just so sketchy, and you didn't know how they always will do it. Those guys are amazing, and they figure out a way. They'll belly crawl out there if they have to.
They will. They'll figure it out. But, you know, they were saying that the water was increasingly getting cloudier as it went into the season. But they were still, you know, fish still got speared on the last day of the season. So
yeah, they did. They did.
Yeah, and kudos to those guys.
Yep, they never gave up. But no, I'm excited about the show tonight. We've got some really good stories coming up in this segment, the next segment, throughout the whole show. Different stories from around the country that are really going to make you scratch your head a little bit. They'll make you, you'll form an opinion, I'm sure. And anybody that wants to call in.
Yeah, 281-1570, 866-653-1570. You can also email me at livingtheoutdoorswi@gmail.com, and I can get your questions answered for you.
Great.
So, yeah, I mean, well, the other thing, you're getting ready. I mean, turkey hunting's not far away. And right now, you can snow goose hunt.
Right.
Just about anywhere.
Ooh.
You know, I mean, I talked to a guy at the sports show down in Kansas, and he said they were pounding on him pretty hard. And there's, you know, the snow that came across kind of kept them from moving too much farther, but. Pretty good shooting going on right now.
Really?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Well, that's kind of a good segue.
That's why I said.
It's
almost like he hosts a radio show.
He's a veteran at this. He knows just how to slide into the.
I was trying to set you up as best as I could.
Is this year 11 for you, Mark? Just a year 11 of the show? Is that correct?
What's that? 11?
Year 11? Is this your 11th year on the
I think it's more than that.
Is it really?
I think so. 2010.
Oh, wow. So that's year 13.
13.
My math is serving me
well.
What
is that, Beaver Dam math? Or what?
Yeah, I don't. I take full responsibility for that. Don't drag my good old alma mater that low. They have maybe a program.
Yeah, it's it was like 10, and then all of a sudden now it's gotten more. So it's it's always a celebration. Every year we continue to do this and get people on and talk about outdoor stuff. I'm all in.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
Yep. Well, so yeah, the first story we were going to talk about tonight, the headline read, "Farmer deliberately discs a spread of snow goose decoys." Well, that grabs my attention right away. After a lease dispute between a farmer and an outfitter, the farmer cruises through the expensive snow geese spread with his stubble roller and kind of plowed them under.
When you said that to me, I go, I've heard of this story, you know, and it's a great story. And like you said previously, it will spark an opinion. It will spark an emotion. I'm curious to see what, I'm sure there's some details that were kind of left out in here. I mean, the article alludes to that a little bit, but this is just an example, and I'm just going to spark off on my own tangent here and give my own opinion on this. This is why communicating with landowners and knowing exactly where you should be, where you shouldn't be, and no, I'm not making any excuses for this guy driving over somebody's decoys, which is unacceptable, but there's got to be a better way to handle conflict than getting to this point.
The strange part about this story is both sides think they have the lease to this property. The farmer doesn't own. He thinks he's got it leased, and so does the outfitter for the goose hunters. He thinks he mm-hmm. has it leased. There's always been a rift between them, and he claims that the outfitter has been asked, you got to go, you know, you have to go. And he did not. So he fired up his tractor. It was kind of a funny story. If you saw the video online, this guy is in his tractor. The farmer is. And he is just running through these decoys. And he says he's got his own video on his phone.
Exactly, yeah.
And he says, I just don't know why these geese aren't flying away, he says, you know. And and he's got country music cranking in the background on the speaker. And he's just having a time. Now, the crazy thing is, the sheriff is right there with the outfitter. He's kind of got his hands in his pockets. He says, I can't do anything about that. It's out of my jurisdiction. The DNR won't do anything about that. It's out of their jurisdiction. They said it's a civil case, has to be handled. I am not understanding how you can destroy somebody's property and it be under nobody's jurisdiction, like right in front of the sheriff.
Blatant destruction of somebody's property, regardless of what it is, somebody has to be responsible out of that. How does it get to, you know, into civil court to this point? How, if there's no tickets, no reports, no nothing entered in as evidence outside of the video, and what you're looking at, and it's like the guy driving the tractor is like,
well, he's having a good time.
He is one redneck enjoying the hell out of himself, driving over somebody's decoys. And it astonishes me that it gets to that point. But I guess if they were in a riff about it and somebody wasn't supposed to be where they were supposed to be, if they were trespassing, if they were told not to be there and they were trespassing, then that is a, you know, a law enforcement issue.
Right. Right. No, I that's why I'm just not sure why everybody's hands were tied at that moment. You know, something like that could escalate quick.
Well, maybe to get everybody afraid that this guy's going to run them over with his tractor.
Well,
know?
They clearly the both sides think they're in the right because they're videotaping everything they're doing. The guide is videotaping it. The farmer's videotaping. As far as the landowner, the actual landowner, she's 80 plus years old, and she has a difficult time conducting business transactions. So this may be where some of the miscommunication has been. Maybe she leased it to both of them and doesn't realize it, or whatever it may be. They're going to have to get it figured out and probably figure it out in court. But as far as the guide himself, he's accused that he still owes the landowner money, and he was served an eviction notice, and he still showed up.
Okay, then that's a problem.
Yeah. There's so many, you know, arms to this thing, and it's just hard to figure out where you go from here. But I don't know. That was a strange thing. I don't know if it happens more often than we know, but I've never seen something like that before. Snow goose decoys. I don't know what they cost, but he ran over dozens of them.
They look like socks. I mean, which are probably the least expensive of them when you're talking about full bodies and. You know, things that shells, that's quite expensive. Socks are less expensive. But, you know, looking at the spread that the guy, he probably had several hundred decoys
in
that field, which are now probably useless. But, you know, this is a situation of, you know, we talk about it with the world all the time where people are not on the same page. You know, like you mentioned, if the landowner, you know, who's got the lease agreement or the lease contract, who has that signed by this lady? To me, that would be the one who has rights to it. If there's somebody who can't produce that agreement and you've been served unless to vacate the premises, why are you still there?
Correct. Yep.
Why are you still there?
I think there was something to that. I believe that the lease agreement wasn't signed, more or less paid for with a handshake, and you know, now you got what we got. So,
well, then is this guy at that point taking advantage of this landowner by saying she told me I could be here? But you know, if you're going to do something in that, and you're an outfitter, and you're actually, you have clients that you're taking out that are paying you, you better have everything in the right place. You better have signed documents. You better have written permission. You better have all of that stuff in order. Otherwise, you're doomed as an outfitter because nobody will ever use you if a situation like this happens and you're somewhere you're not supposed to be. You're done.
His clients had to be kind of horrified there because they were out.
I'd be in my truck and on my way home.
Yeah.
Well, first I'd stop to ask the guy for a check. You know, I think I want my money back right now. If not, you know what? I'm going to go out there and stop that guy. I'm going to start picking up your decoys and I'll take those home with me.
Right, right.
And several weeks back, you know, Sean Hawley was on and, you know, these guys have been doing this for decades, and you get sometimes these fly by night outfitters that, you know, get an outfitter's license over the counter or whatever it takes to get. And they just find some properties or figure out something. And they start taking all these people out that in turn can create bad scenarios,
for
people. You know, you think they're on the up and up, but they're not. And that's why, you know, if going with somebody that's reputable, that's, you know, active on social media, that has plenty of testimonials and stuff like that. I'm not saying that this guy might not have, but maybe he was on the cheap and everybody's like, well, this is a really good deal. Well, as you sit there in amazement and watch him plow underneath your decoy spread, you know what? I think it's time to go.
Yeah.
You know, it really.
Right. Right. Now, I just thought it was an interesting thing to see and. I know there's always altercations, you know, here and there, but you just hope that they end in a peaceful way and get settled.
That is it. You know, this is exactly what you want to prevent from happening. You know, the guy seems like he's like a super redneck, and he's really enjoying himself.
He is.
He is like, this is the best thing to birthday cake.
Yep.
That, you know, he's just plowing these things under and having a good old time.
He was.
And, you know, maybe that will work against him because now you're doing this for grins.
Yep.
You know, to me, it's like, yeah, Oh, well. I just, things like this, here's my opinion, they don't have to happen.
No.
So on that note, we're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we'll have more of Fleet Farm's Living the Outdoor Show right here on The Score.
I'm Mike Christensen, the owner and president of Christensen Heating and Air Conditioning. My parents.
Welcome back to Fleet Farm's Living the Outdoor Show here on The Score. I'm your host, Mark Druick. Thanks for tuning us in tonight. Hey, I just want to give a shout out to the Clintonville Bow Hunters for inviting me out to be their guest speaker last Saturday. Had a wonderful time out there. Those guys are awesome. And I will always take advantage of the opportunity to get out and send my message and talk about getting people involved in the outdoors. So thanks to those guys. I really appreciate it.
That's pretty neat.
It is.
I didn't know you did that.
Oh, sure. I've multiple times. Probably about 10 times already.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where can I catch a show?
I don't know. You want me to tell you next time so you can come and watch? Yeah.
I'll be the guy in the back. I won't heckle.
Then there'll be 12 people.
Yeah, I know. No, I'm sure that's interesting. That's cool.
Yeah, I've done quite a few of them over the years. People used to find me at my previous employer and like, hey, you want somebody to come in and talk about bow hunting? I've done it at churches. The last one I did was at a group of guys, probably about 40 of them. And they all hunted together. They're all friends and family. And they do this once a year. They all get together. They have a big game feed and they give away prizes and stuff. And they have somebody come in and talk. And it was, I love it. Anytime I can talk to people about, you know, maintaining and developing the stewardship of the outdoors, I'm all in.
That's neat. I did not know that. You think you know someone and then boom.
Yeah.
What else you got in that box of tricks?
I wear dresses at night.
We will there we not go. Go down
there's
there.
Your zinger. Yeah.
Where's my bell?
There's my ding.
Oh, man. So.
So.
Second story for tonight.
Bingo.
Something that I found fascinating. Again, anybody's got any opinions on any of this? 920-281-1570. This one's out of New Mexico. And apparently, in the Gila National Forest in New Mexico, there has been a herd of feral cattle. And it sounds like they've been there maybe since the 70s. Just cattle that have never been rounded up by the ranchers and ended up being in the wild. And then they have more cattle and they become wild. Wild herds. Actually wild herds. And so the story goes, there's about 150 of them, and the dispute here is that they feel like they're overgrazing, they're causing problems on the riverbanks with erosions, and the bulls that are in this herd are they can be a little mean, so for hikers and people in the area, they have to be careful of them.
Right.
Well, the U.S. Forest Service has decided to take care of the problem. And last Friday, they started, and they went up in helicopters, and they were going to shoot these 150, it's an average, 150 feral cattle. That's one thing. The other thing is when they shoot these cattle, they will be left. They will not be removed, disposed of in any way. Now, you've got 150 head of cattle there, which looks like the numbers say that could be 65 tons of cattle laying throughout that Gila National Forest. And they're going to leave it to basically to decompose and then the scavengers to take the rest. Now, there's always two sides to these kind of stories. And I'm trying to be objective on both sides, why it needs to be done, why it doesn't need to be done. But I just think overall, the methods could be different.
I'm going to start off with, does it need to be done? Does it not need to be done? I'm of the opinion they don't belong there. You know, and what they're destroying the natural habitat. It's a national forest. And I think they're destroying that habitat from all the other creatures that are there. They're not indigenous to that terrain. And you're talking about New Mexico. I mean, you're talking about deer, javelinas, elk. Yeah, they can be destructive. Plus, if you're out there hunting and you run into one of those bulls, they will kill you.
Yeah.
They'll run you down.
But I look at it like, you know, there's bears there, there's cougars too. You know, you still have to be diligent. If you're going to be in the wild area like that, you're going to have to, kind of watch some of that anyway.
Oh, absolutely.
I heard an opinion on a podcast last week for this situation that I thought was interesting. This guy said, why do you not open that up to sportsmen? Sell tags, maybe $500 a tag, maybe more. You sell 150 tags to hunt these cattle, and it's up to the sportsman. If he gets one, it's up to him to hike it out, haul it all out. Now you can keep that beef, or you can turn it into a, you know, where it'll go to a good cause.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that was interesting. Now the state of New Mexico gets all that revenue. The beef goes to a good cause, and there you have it. But it's never been suggested. There's been a lot of other suggestions, but not anything like that.
That one would make the most sense to me.
Yeah.
You know, where I sit right here, that it's the resources is not being utilized, could be donated to the local food banks, but what are the logistics and everything that has to go along with that and the expense? That's and it's a national forest.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those don't get a lot of, I don't want to say don't get a lot of attention, but they're designed to be rugged.
Right.
You know,
yep.
and rough terrain without a ton of access and so on and so forth. But, you know, not wasting it is, it goes against everything. For me as a sportsman, I don't care what it is, if it's you know, shot and left to waste when it could be utilized for something else. I don't agree with that. I think that even if they did, you know, shoot them, they should have had maybe people lined up or whatever to get them out. You sign up to get one or whatever it is. They could have done something to, you know, to better utilize that. But again, the scavengers and the ravens and the worms and everything else that will not go to waste.
I mean, it will get
whatsoever.
It will get taken care of, but again, it's just and they were going to try to be a little more selective on where they did this. Like they know the areas where hiking trails and all, they were going to try to keep it away from those areas, more sight unseen, if you will. But it's an odd thing. And since this started to go last Friday. Now, it was going to go from Friday to Monday or Tuesday of this week, and they would have it done. Now the New Mexico governor got involved.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, and she wanted it to stop. She thought it was a bad idea. She thought there were other avenues, other ways to do it. But the U.S. Forest Service must pull a lot of rank because she was unable to stop it. And she just thinks there's a meaningful long-term solution to this whole thing, and before they went in and did this. And I'm sure they've been dealing with it a long time, and we don't know all the details. Again, there's always two sides to every story. But to me, when you read the majority of it and for what it is and what they're actually doing, man, it just seems wasteful to me. It just seems so wasteful.
You know, but if politics get involved with that stuff, then it just, we all know what happens there. It just turns into a mess. Maybe it's just kind of like that squirrel on the road. Make a decision. You know, the roads are filled with indecisive squirrels that are all squished on the road. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, as far as the U.S. Forest Service, yeah, a lot of power.
They must, because they got this, they were able to get this done, and there's been a ton of blowback from a lot of people.
We have to go out to the Cease Electronic talk and text line. This is from Credit Union, Phil. I will read this for you. Hi, guys. I just started listening to your show a few months ago, and I got to tell, it is awesome. To be honest, I'm not even much of an outdoorsman, but the way that you talk about and explain things is really interesting and really compelling, which got me hooked. Keep up the good work. P.S. I would have never guessed you as a dress guy, Mark. That's from Credit Union Phil. Credit Union Phil, thanks for thanks for chiming in today. Text us at 920-281-1570 if you want to have your opinion be heard as well.
Yeah, you know, but you get a little older, you change your ways.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm willing to, you know. Try everything once.
Yeah, right. Well,
it's very difficult finding, you know, dresses my size.
Yeah, and and you don't wear pastel in the spring anymore, and that's nice.
So. Don't wear sleeveless in winter.
You know. Credit Union Phil. I'm learning all that stuff.
Yeah,
and burning his eyes
right away. Now Credit Union Phil's going to leave us.
That leaves a bad visual, man. Yeah.
Holy cow! That threw me off my rocker here.
Thank you very much. That's why, you know, this doing this radio show means so much to me, because I think if it gives people a better understanding of what our us outdoor people are like, we're not just a bunch of, you know, animal haters and killers and slaughterers. We're not. We're good human beings who are stewards of the outdoors, so that we can keep and continue to maintain the opportunities for people to utilize the outdoors. And I always say that you don't have to be, you know, a hunter or a fisherman. You know, people, these state parks and all this stuff, are people bicycle and they hike and they picnic and they do all these fun things. A lot of dollars are allocated to that through the sportsmen of Wisconsin. And it goes to secure lands and develop lands for, you know, future generations and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's being an outdoors person is kind of a big responsibility, because it needs to continue to get passed along. And if we can get people to understand that a little bit more of what it is that we do, I think that's the purpose of this show, and to get people connected to the outdoors as well. So thanks for the great comments. I appreciate that.
That was awesome. No, I appreciate that as well. And I agree with you. I think hunters are more stewards of the land than probably, you know, any facet of the outdoors. I mean, it's just incredible. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing about a story like this is apparently it's the ranchers themselves that are fighting this. They don't want that done. And it sounds like they feel like the agency is skipping steps of rounding up the cattle and impounding them overall. But like you said, that is rugged country. I don't mm-hmm. even know how you would kind of go about that. That's probably why the helicopters are coming into play, because it is rugged and it's a tough area to...
They're not taking balloons down, just to verify?
There may have been, we can neither confirm nor deny that there are any balloons involved.
Did you see that guy that chased, he had a balloon in his sights for 200 miles and it turned out to be some bird crap on his windshield? I felt bad for
How
the gentleman.
How stupid can you be? My goodness.
That's why they have alcohol.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
Right.
But, you know, and the thing, Randy, I'll make this point before we take a break is, these are feral animals. I mean, they're not used to being rounded up, and they could prevent it. They could injure somebody.
Yeah.
You know, they're not used to being dealt with. They've been let on their own for all this time. I mean, would that be a viable option? Absolutely. How do you go about doing that? It's like herding cats.
I was going to say,
it's not going
to
happen.
Or herding elk, you know, it'd be hard to herd up some elk. They would be crazy.
No, they can run up. You know, I mean, I've been hunting out west where the you're up in the mountains and the cattle are up there. The ranchers' cattle, they run free, and then they do like in Yellowstone. They get on their horses and they go round them up and they push them back down into the pens for the winter. And talking to these guys, you go, this isn't easy.
Oh,
I mean, these things run all over the place. They run into the trees. You can't get at them. They're up in the rocks. And I can't imagine that would be easy at all. So... All right, well, listen, we're going to go ahead and take another break. When we come back, we'll have more of Fleet Farms Living the Outdoor Show right here on The Score.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. That was terrible.
Welcome back to Fleet Farms Living the Outdoor Show here on The Score. I'm your host, Mark Druick. Glad to have you along with us tonight. Hey, if you missed part of tonight's show, you can pick us up for the rebroadcast on Saturday mornings at 7. And you can also do the podcast on thescorewi.com and on iTunes. And I believe, Alex, we were talking about that last week. They go back to like 2016.
Yeah, I can verify that before we adjourn for the day, too.
Yeah, I know there's a ton of them up there. And there's been some great ones. you know, over the years. So if you ever want to go back, I tell people that. They're like, oh, how long have you been doing this? I go,
let me verify long time. That because this could take a while. So
yeah, I know. I had to scroll all the way down there to find the last one. But
I'd like to see hear that. I would.
Yeah. 2010, I think, was my first broadcast in the studio. So, yeah, hard to believe.
So, July 13th, 2016. That's the oldest one. Scrolled past one with Ted Nugent on there, the bumper that we just played too.
Oh yeah, there's just about every celebrity. There's only a few of them that I have not had an opportunity to connect with, but I'm still working on some.
Do you have a dream guest that you'd like to either have back on or have on?
Well, here's the deal. Lee and Tiffany were great friends of the show for many years, and I always worked with her mom to get them scheduled on, and she has since passed on, and I have not been able to reconnect with them. So I'm going to the Minnesota Deer Classic next weekend. They're going to be there, and I'm going to do my best to get them back on the show. And I've got one individual that's been a target that we've communicated a dozen times but can never get together, and that's Michael Waddell. And I see him at the ATA show every year, and he's like, yeah, well, why don't we just do it right here? I'm like, I wish I could do that. I wish we could sit down with a microphone and do this right now. But you know, these people are extremely busy. If they're doing commercials, they're doing promotional stuff. I've been so lucky to connect with so many of them over the years that. But I will get him on. T-Bone's been on.
Yeah,
he even tried to help me do it, but he's like, yeah. He goes, Mark, that guy, he's busy. He's always doing something. But he's very active, and we'll make that happen. I don't give up on any of that stuff.
That'd be a big get. That would be a big guest right there.
Yeah, yeah. There've been some good ones, but we got one more story.
We do. It's just a quick hitter here. It's one of these. How do you feel about it? So how do you feel about having the chance to purchase a lifetime fishing license in Wisconsin? I don't know if you have an opinion on that. So a couple of weeks ago, State Representative Ron Tussler and Senator Patrick Teston circulated a proposal to create a lifetime fishing license for Wisconsin residents. It's an opportunity to buy your license once and you'll be done with it. Around the U.S., they have them in a lot of states, Illinois, Minnesota, Missouri, Ohio. The cost varies, though, by state. It can run anywhere from $200 to $2,000. But what they're thinking for Wisconsin is the current fee for a fishing license is $19.25, a yearly fee. So they would kind of figure that a 30-year license, good for, maybe the average person would fish 30 years, so it'd be about $600. So that's where that would land, $600. In your younger day, would you have bought a lifetime fishing license?
Fishing license, no. Hunting license, yes.
How much was that? Could you repeat that again? Sorry.
Okay. So,
just the total, like the estimated total.
Well, they figure for a lifetime fishing license, a 30-year run, and right now individually they're $19.25. So yeah. Then they would sell the lifetime one for around $600.
Fishing, no, I don't.
At least you'd be done for 30 years. Like, that's the pro of it, is you never, well, like, you will have it for as long, for 30 years. Like,
you'd have it as long as you've, correct, for your whole life. They're just kind of figuring that's about what the average person would get out of it.
Even better.
Yeah. Yeah, you would never have to
purchase one. If you got one when you were, like, 18, you could have it for.
Yeah, that would be beneficial.
Right.
At my age, no.
I think, for me, I'd like to see him offer it.
Why not? If people want to take advantage of it, and there's people that are just extremely passionate about fishing, and they will fish every single day if they can, and why shouldn't they have the opportunity to do that?
Right.
So one shot deal, you're good to go. You don't have to worry about it every year. Small game for me. I'd be in.
Sure. Yeah.
You know.
No, it would depend on what it is, but the fishing industry in this state generates $9 to $10 million in revenue just for fishing alone. So that's significant for the DNR.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're really getting that all up front, you know, if a lot of people choose to do that, but mm-hmm. that's all right too.
Well, it's kind of like those, you know, gift cards. You know, you buy one and how many of them really get utilized? Do you know what I'm saying?
They I mean,
you
buy one and on you're paying
great, six. Great point.
It's you buy your license and, you know, I'm not being morbid by any means, but you spend your $600 and the next year that, you know, you don't, let's just say this, you don't get to utilize it to its full extent.
Right.
And gift cards are like that. It's a staggering amount of, you wouldn't believe how low the percentage is on gift cards. That's like the crack.
I would like to know what the percentages are, because I mean, have you ever gone through your dresser drawer and you find a gift card laying in there from 5 years ago? You know,
it's great.
See,
finding $20 in your pocket the next year.
I'm too impulsive. I have those things. I use them.
They burn a hole in your pocket?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
They kind of do. You know, if I have them, I want to use them because they're usually for something. If I do get them, they're for something that.
Probably outdoor related.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't get any, you know, Maurice's or any Dress Barns or anything like that. I don't get any gift cards like that. So.
Bed Bath and Beyond. Well, are you sure? Like,
what Bed about Bath and Beyond. Come on.
Well, you know, maybe
it's
I should just.
Opportunity.
I should check those stores up first before I request any gift cards.
We know what he's getting for Christmas this year, Alex.
Bunch of dresses. I like it.
Oh,
we'll pull I'll pull the curtains off the wall. That's easy.
Hey, well, you know, whatever. Yeah. Do what it takes.
Yep. So, yeah, that is just, I thought it was interesting. They're bringing that back to the table again. And
I think it should be offered because I think there's people out there that would love to have that.
They're trying to, no pun intended, but hook people early. They're mm-hmm. trying to. You pay that money when you're maybe in your early 20s, and now it kind of sits in the back of your mind. I just spent $600. I'm going to get my money's worth out of it.
And when I was 20 years old, $600 is a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. I mean, back then it was.
Yeah.
What was that like?
It's a lot.
Yeah, and I don't know I was 20 years old if I'd be spending $600 on a fishing.
But it would be worth it in the long run.
Absolutely, but when you're 20, you don't look at.
That is right.
You get to be this age, and you kind of the end is in sight. You can kind of like plan.
Now
it's like,
wait a minute, okay. The end is in sight.
Well, how long does the average person live?
Alex,
probably 75,
80.
And 80 years.
Is that it?
Yeah. I would say,
right.
Is that it? That's still, I mean, yeah.
If I make it to 80, I'm happy. I'm going to keep going.
Oh,
that's why I'm doing. That's why I do all this hunting and all this other kinds of stuff. Take these trips and do all this stuff. I'm trying to live.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. While you can.
Absolutely. But yeah, right. I think that should be offered, and I think they should offer it as a small game license too, because of all the bird hunters, the duck hunters, the squirrel hunters, the rabbit hunters. Could have a great opportunity.
I have information here from Harvard University, this is rather incredible. With rare exceptions, life expectancy has been on the rise in the United States. It was 47 years old in 1900, 68 years old in 1950, and in 2019, it has risen to nearly 79 years old. But it also fell to 77 in 2020, and it dropped again to 76 in 2021. The average life expectancy in the United States, 76 years young.
Hmm.
You there you
were
go.
Right. You were really close.
Close enough. Price is right. I would have won a lot.
I suppose COVID had a lot to do with the fact that it went down those years.
Ed, tell him what he's won.
But still, I mean, hypothetically, you get it for in your 20 or $600, you get it for 50 years. I mean, it does pay for itself if you do that.
Agreed.
Yeah. Agreed. And it won't be for everyone, but you know what? At least offer it.
A great stocking stuffer for the holidays.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
That'd be awesome.
Well,
it's just a proposal, too. This isn't.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's not like it's, you know.
Well, then I think the beauty shop should offer massages for life then, too.
That'd be great.
Oh. All right, we'll think on that one.
We'll think on that one during the break. we'll mull that one over. All right, well, listen, we're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we'll have more of Fleet Farms Living the Outdoor Show right here on The Score.
Randy! Randy!
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of life. The facts of life. There's a time you gotta go and show you're growing. Now you know about the facts of life.
Welcome back to Fleet Farms Living the Outdoor Show here on The Score. It is that time again. We got Tootie in the studio going to read us up some fun facts of life. And what do we got tonight, Randy?
We've got a lot of fun facts tonight. There's no particular category. They are all over the place. Feel free to chime in if they strike you funny or not. And I'll just keep going because we have a lot to do. It is physically impossible for pigs to look up into the sky.
They don't have a neck.
Bingo. Exactly. A shark is the only fish that can blink with both eyes.
Do you know what a fish is with no eyes?
Oh, God. Here we go.
Oh, boy. All right.
You set me up for that one. I'm sorry.
If you sneeze too hard...
That is something.
You could. No, I don't want to talk about sneezing hard.
Oh, if you sneeze too hard, you could fracture a rib.
Wow. Yeah. That's interesting.
Unless you're one of those soft sneezers, do you know any? My son's other half, if you were sitting in a quiet room and she was behind you, you'd kind of turn around like, did I just hear something? And she'll be sneezing away and like, it's impossible.
I can control the sound.
You can.
I can. Yes.
Oh, I'm a full out sneezer. Yeah. I am. But I can see I've had.
They say you're not supposed to. You're supposed to just let it fly and have no.
I think she lets it fly, but it's kind of, I can't even. That's about it. That's about
wow.
it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It is.
You
All right.
could fracture a.
I didn't know that.
You could fracture a rib. Yeah, I'll tell you. You have a sore back if you sneeze. You're going to be gripping.
No, I sneezed a couple times, and it wasn't that. It was something else.
All right. Moving right along.
There we go.
Wearing headphones for just an hour could increase the bacteria in your ear by 700 times.
Beautiful. What are we wearing?
Headphones. All right.
Perfect. Oh.
In the course of an average lifetime, while sleeping, you might eat around 70 assorted insects.
Mm-hmm.
A crocodile cannot stick its tongue out. Just sits there. It's just a big, what is it, a glottis? What is that? What is a tongue called? All right.
You're telling me.
A shrimp's heart is in his head. Rubber bands last longer when refrigerated.
Ah, interesting.
Oh.
There are 293 ways to make change for a dollar.
How many?
293.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
Okay.
That's the best one so far.
Dreamt. I dreamt it. Is the only English word that ends in the letters MT.
Hmm. Verklempt? That's yeah. that?
Verklempt?
Oh, look it up. We got to check. Fact
Is
checker
that a
here.
Word?
Fact checker.
Yeah. Fact checker.
All right. While he's looking it up, almonds are a member of the peach family.
Oh, it's not. It's PT. Verklempt.
Yeah. Yep. See, internet doesn't lie. Maine is the only state that has one syllable name. An ostrich eye is bigger than its brain. The character wow. Bert and Ernie on Sesame Street were named after Bert the cop and Ernie the taxi driver in It's a Wonderful Life.
Ah, there you go.
All right.
Wow, Christmas I never theme. Made that connection. I've only watched that movie about 1,200 times.
Another coin fun fact, a dime has 118 ridges around the edge.
That is a great fact.
That is 118 ridges. Who counted that?
You can fact check that if you want, but I'm not.
118.
It's worth 10 cents, but I wonder how much it's worth to make. That's interesting.
Oh, yeah, right.
Now
yeah.
That's,
yeah.
Now that
good,
gets you
good
thinking.
Good point.
This one I'm a little skeptical of. Most people fall asleep in 7 minutes.
I think I'll take the over.
Depends on if your spouse snores or not.
All right. It would take 19 minutes to free fall to the center of the earth.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Think about that. What are you doing at about minute 17 or 18? What are you thinking?
Bored.
You can draw a line 35 miles long using one pencil if you did it on paper. Okay. Boy, the looks I'm getting in here. Wow.
I'm trying to envision somebody walking down 35 miles with a pencil.
Yeah, I would agree. What are you doing over there, sir? I don't want to know.
I don't have anything better to do. Thank you for asking.
Apple pie isn't American. Although,
oh, no.
Although people in the U.S. typically associate apple pie and they're really proud of that, it was invented in England.
You just ruined the 4th of July.
baseball, hot dogs.
Apple pie.
And
Hunting?
No, fishing? Chevrolet. That's it.
That's it.
All right.
It's over for me.
And I'm sorry. I'll come back with something. In 1992, a crate containing 28,000 rubber ducks capsized at sea and spilled out into the ocean. They're still washing up today.
That's cool.
How many fish do you think actually came up and...
Oh, I'll bet you a lot of them.
And hit that. And oh, just yeah. Like, what is that? All right. And to finish these fun facts up tonight, Alex, I'm going to give you the chance to read the last fun fact.
Alrighty.
It's with the stars on the side.
Wow, this is going to be impossible. The sixth sheep is believed to be the toughest tongue twister in the English language. The sixth sheep, that's tough.
That was really well done. Mark, would you like a try?
It is not easy.
No. Oh, thank you, though.
He's like, I heard it once. I heard it twice.
He never even budged. He looked right at me and said, no. So that is your fun facts for this month.
Wow, those are some dandies.
That's a wrap for March.
That kind of is. It was a lot of fun.
35 miles with a pencil.
You're makes holding you on to that one.
When I run out of crap to do, I'm going to see if that's true or not.
It's like from here to Green Bay or like from here to Southern Oshkosh. That's crazy.
That's got to be your standard number two lead Ticonderoga.
Yeah, absolutely.
Does that include sharpening? When the tip breaks off when you're sharpening
way.
It?
No way. Well,
you can't. Well... That's you know
true.
How that is.
That's
you know how
true.
Frustrating
you
that is.
It.
I hate when that happens.
I know.
You sharpen it all up, you're ready to go, and you put it down, and the tip falls off.
Kids these days don't even know what a pencil sharpener is.
No, they don't.
They don't need one.
That's true.
Think about that.
That is next month on Fun Facts.
We'll figure that out.
How old are we? You'll find out next month.
All right. Randy, great to have you in the studio again. Thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you.
And again, glad to be sitting in this chair, bringing you my passion for living the outdoors. And if you do have the opportunity, please take advantage of it. You can impact somebody's life through the outdoors. I guarantee you it will make you a better person. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great evening and live life in the outdoors.